Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay and had a good weekend. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast on Monday, the 27th of January. And this is our most read story on the website today. New figures seen by the Kent Online podcast show there's been a significant drop in the number of children wanting to go to some schools in Kent after they received poor Ofsted reports. Well, Kate's been looking at the data and joins me now. Kate, what does it show?
Well, the figures really highlight the impact a poor grading given to a school by the watchdog can have on admission numbers. For example, Chatham and Clarendon Grammar in Ramsgate was recently rated inadequate and has seen a 47% drop in first choice applications, while Sandwich Technology School has been chosen as a top preference by just 91 prospective pupils, despite having a capacity of 250.
And this comes after the Labour government scrapped the single word school grading system.
Yes, at that time they said it was to improve school standards and increase transparency for parents. Head teachers have also criticised the old system. The head of Chatham and Clarendon in particular was unhappy after they were criticised for having single-sex classes. Deborah Lidicote told us it's hard to battle against a one-word judgment, particularly when we firmly believe it's not a fair reflection of our school.
But it's not bad news for everyone, Kate.
No, absolutely not. 40 schools in the county have actually seen a rise in the number of applicants selecting them as their preferred option. On the Isle of Sheppey, there's been a big rise in the number wanting to attend one of two new academies that replaced the troubled Oasis School.
Now, it can be a pretty stressful time choosing a secondary school, can't it?
It really can. Parents had until the end of last October to get their secondary school applications in for children starting Year 7 this September. As this article on the website shows, there's a lot to consider and those Ofsted ratings still have a huge impact. School place offers will be sent out on March 3rd.
Kate, thank you ever so much. And you can see the data for the schools near you by clicking on the story by Jerry Warren today on the website.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories today, and a man's been charged with attempted murder following a stabbing in Gillingham. Emergency crews were called to a house on 4th Avenue on Saturday afternoon. A teenager was taken to a London hospital and is still in a stable condition. Jamie Goodedge, who's 21 and from the same road, is due in court. A Folkestone man who tried to attack his partner's son after getting drunk at a bowls club has been given a two-year community order. William Patrick also smashed the windscreen of the victim's car with a brick in July last year. A 40-year-old from Pavilion Road has been ordered to attend rehab and do unpaid work. A dad says it's lucky no one was seriously injured after a ball bearing was fired at his car on the A20 in West Kingsdown. Lawrence Williams was travelling with his wife towards the Swanley interchange when the back window of their vehicle was smashed on Friday night. Police have told us they're investigating. A Sheppey shoplifter has been jailed after being described as a menace to the community. Rebecca Lee stole more than £600 worth of goods from Morrison's in Queenborough over a five-day period earlier this month. The 43-year-old has 59 previous convictions and no permanent address. She's been locked up for 6 months. Now, three Kent men who were involved in a so-called clocking scam involving second-hand cars and vans have avoided jail sentences. The group from Broadstairs and Charton wiped 2 million miles off 23 vehicles before selling them online. Raghul Malhotra was one of their victims. He bought his car back in 2016 and has been speaking to Gabriel Morris from the local Democracy Reporting Service.
Can you remember, I know this is going back 9 years now, but can you remember how much you paid for the car?
I don't remember exactly. I know how much I lost because I basically part exchanged it only a few months after I bought it because I wasn't happy with it. And I lost £3,200 roughly.
And that's money you're never going to see again?
Not unless we get any monetary return from this prosecution.
Do you hope that could be a possibility today?
Well, I'm hopeful, but I think the reality is that it's unlikely, but I have no basis for saying that. I'm just going by the fact that if these criminals are as clever as they are, if they have any assets to be gained, they'll probably have got rid of them before this prosecution took place.
Now, you were a victim of fraud 9 years ago. It's taken 9 years to get to today. How do you feel about this, I mean, the whole process you've been through?
Well, obviously it has took a lot longer than it should have, and I realised that COVID was partly to blame, And obviously trading standards have to do everything correctly in order to get the prosecution, which can take time. But I feel that it could have been done quicker still.
Did you realise, I mean, this was even possible, particularly with modern cars now with digital clocks? I know back in the old days when there were the manual ones, it's a lot easier, but did you realise it was actually possible with these digital clocks? I certainly
don't. Yes, no doubt. I mean, with computers you can do pretty much anything you want if you know how to, they work. And I would imagine in many ways the computerised clocks are maybe even easier to clock than the old type one.
Steve Rock, who's head of Kent Trading Standards, also spoke to Gabriel after the sentencing.
The investigation started around about 2018. I think we were looking at frauds which were committed between 2016 and 2018.
And how complex of a case has this been for you guys?
This has been one of the most complicated cases we've had to deal with. There's been multiple companies involved, multiple people, lots of victims. It's a widespread fraud. These vehicles were sold all over England. We had the assistance of Kent Police and North Yorkshire Trading Standards, and we were supported throughout by the National Trading Standards Regional Investigation Team.
And your reaction to today?
It's good. It's a good sentence. We're pleased we've got to where we are. The only thing that is disappointing is because of the significant court delays and the process, we've had to wait. It's caused complications with taking the case through the courts, and of course it's also delayed justice for the victims.
Kent Online reports.
It's emerged a man who was due in court in Kent on fraud charges is still on the run 9 years later. Stephen Anderson was charged with two counts in Herne Bay and should have appeared at Margate Magistrates in May 2016. The 71-year-old from St James Way in Sidcup remains on the Kent Police Most Wanted list. A weather warning for strong winds is in force across Kent as Storm Herminia hits. The Met Office is predicting gusts of up to 70 miles per hour on the coast with a chance of some travel disruption. The yellow alert covers the whole of the county until 6 tomorrow morning. A Sheerness family have been saved after firefighters heading back from another blaze spotted a fire in their garden. The mum, dad and three children had been asleep in the property on Unity Street when it happened. Crews had earlier been fighting flames in nearby Winstanley Road. Both fires are being investigated. The family of a man who died after being hit by a car in Broadstairs say they may never know why he fell into the path of the vehicle. Louis Davey had been walking with a friend when it happened on Fairfield Road last July. An inquest has been told there was no evidence the 26-year-old was affected by drink or drugs. A coroner concluded it was an accident. Now signs are going to be put up outside play areas and schools in parts of Kent to try and encourage us not to smoke. Areas including Ashford, Thanet and Maidstone have been awarded funding for the project. Councillor Dan Watkins is the Cabinet Member for Public Health at the County Council and he's been chatting to Lucy.
Tell me a bit about this scheme, first of all.
The idea behind the smoke-free outdoor spaces project is very much to protect children from the negative impacts of cigarette smoke and indeed protect them from being exposed to vaping in public places.
So when the signs go up, is it just smoking they're sort of targeting or smoking and vaping?
So I would say the lead is on smoking because smoking is particularly harmful to people. Vaping is better than smoking for sure, but nonetheless vaping does still have some negative consequences, and if people can not vape or smoke, that's even better for you. So we see vaping as a way of helping cigarette smokers come off cigarettes. But if you can come off vaping as well, that's great. I mean, bear in mind with cigarettes that they are very harmful, but they are addictive through the nicotine that's in a cigarette. And indeed, over 80% of all adults say they wish they'd never even started smoking.
And of course, these signs are kind of, like you said, to remind people about the dangers, but there's no enforcement action if people are smoking in those areas. It's not a ban, is it?
That's right. It is informational. There won't be fines for people smoking, But like a lot of things in life, things can be the right thing to do, but you don't fine people if they don't do them. That, in our view, would be going too far.
And why have these certain areas of Kent been chosen? It's sort of some towns in the kind of east and north of Kent, Maidstone, Dover, I think was another one. Why those particular areas?
So we are working with our district partners. We think it's quite right that as a very kind of local and targeted initiative, down to the level of individual playgrounds and public buildings, the district council should lead. You know, they know their areas so well, and therefore this is something that the district councils can choose to take advantage of, Lucy, but they don't have to. So at the moment, we've got about half of the councils across Kent that said they're going to move forward with this initiative, and we will welcome other districts joining the scheme as well.
Research has found long-term exposure to secondhand smoke in the UK causes over 10,000 deaths a year.
Kent Online reports.
A former Royal Marine from Deal is fighting to raise awareness of sepsis following the death of his seven-year-old granddaughter. John Boyd says Ruby was born with cystic fibrosis and had a number of health issues before passing away in 2019. He now wants to make sure everyone's aware of the symptoms, which include a fever, rapid heart rate, confusion and breathing difficulty. An investigation's underway after video footage emerged of a mouse in the food hall of an entertainment complex in Maidstone. It's not the first time rodents have been spotted at Lockmeadow after previously being filmed in the Odeon cinema. Council bosses say they're aware and insist the area has a robust pest control system. Now, plans to close the Kent Leisure Centre for a £20 million revamp are going to be reviewed at a meeting later. Tides in Deal is set to shut this April before reopening under a new operator in January 2026. However, East Kent Acro Gymnastics Club use the sport hall for their training and fear they could be left homeless. Well, Leanne's spoken to some of the parents there, including Katie O'Brien, whose daughter Ellie goes to the club.
There's no other club that she likes other than her gymnastics, and she's come on leaps and bounds here, but obviously if it was to close, then she's not going to have any club to be able to do for the next however long. And it's the only thing that she does after school that gives her, thrives her to do more energy. Like, it's just the only thing she likes doing, really. She doesn't do any after school club, it's just here.
Obviously, the decision is being reviewed. Before, I mean, last week it was, you know, definitely set to close. This next week, I believe, there's a meeting for them to review it. What would you like to say to those councillors who are reviewing this decision to get them to really help you stay this club stay open?
Well, it's helped my daughter so much. It would be a shame to let that go when nothing's being done here for this bit. She really enjoys it, and I think if these people have kids and have things that they like doing outside of school and it's their escape from school and home life, how would they feel if that was ripped away from that child? It's not really the parents that are missing out on that, because, I mean, we pay for this, we might want the extra money, but it's the kids that are missing out. And my daughter's only 8, she's not going to understand that it's going to be gone, and then she's got nothing else to go back to. She's made so many friends here that don't go to her school. She's only ever been friends with school friends, and she's made outside friends here now, which she doesn't have contact with outside of gymnastics and stuff, so it'd be a shame to see that stop as well.
Steve Heather's also upset about the closure. He's been taking his 11-year-old granddaughter, Ruby.
She's gained a hell of a lot of confidence. That was a big thing with her, always shy, didn't want to mix with people. But since she's been coming here, 5 months I think now, really used that in her confidence, you know, so it's a great thing. It'd be a shame if it all shuts down because of this this renovation. I'd like to see it carrying on, or wherever they're going to move them to, I don't know, you know.
Yeah. So it would have a big impact on Ruby then?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yep. She'll finish tonight, go home, and can't wait till next Monday. You know. So it's I think it would be a big impact, especially now she's got a lot more confidence. I think if it packs up soon, it's going to kick it back out of her. You know, and that'll be a shame.
We'll bring you details on the decision of that meeting as and when we get them. Plans have been approved to knock down a building in Kent with links to Jane Austen. Danefield House in Tilmanstone near Dover was home to some of the famous author's relatives. The ruin will be demolished and a new home built there. And a £250 million upgrade to the A229 at Bluebell Hill could be disrupted by a butterfly. Bosses want to build new slip roads and improve roundabouts on the road between Chatham and Maidstone. It's aiming to reduce congestion, but there are concerns it could damage habitats for wildlife, including the green hairstreak butterfly.
Kent Online Sport.
Football first up, and Gillingham's run of games without a win has continued. They came from a goal down to draw 1-1 with Tranmere Rovers at the weekend. Saturday's result means they're 17th in the League Two table, and they're still without a win under new manager John Coleman, who spoke to us after the final whistle.
Overall, without playing what I would say at our best, you'd have to be happy coming away with a point, even though once you get to know me, you'll know I'm not pleased with points. I want to win games. That's two games I've played now and we haven't won. And I want to get back to winning ways. Thankfully, we've got that one case of not scoring, so we've got that out of the way, even though they did score for us. But we've got to build on it. We've got to try and get better. I thought there was some good positive performances, though. I thought Max Aymer was very, very good. I thought young Jimmy had a good debut. He shows he's a Gillingham type player. He's got heart, he wants to work, he wants to run. I think the fans will love him. And I can't wait for the home fans to see him play. Nev was his Nev, you know, ran himself into the ground again. And Zachy always looked a constant threat when he was on the ball. We just couldn't get him on the ball enough for my liking. But I think we can be better. Well, I know we can be better. And we have to be better. You know, if we're going to try and make a search to try and climb the league, we've got to perform better. I think we are defending slightly better, but I'd like us to be a bit more attacking.
Jules defender Shad Ogi also spoke to reporters after the match.
You know, it's never easy coming away from home and trying to win a game of football. It's never that easy. But to take a point just gives us fans something, really. And, the game was tough. Evo Orca won the game, but us as a team, we've done really well, especially like in the last 10-15 minutes to, you know, just not letting them score, really.
I know you guys were extremely determined to get something today because we've not been on the best of runs. Was a draw, on the face of it, probably a fair result?
Yeah, of course. As I said, you know, it's not easy winning a game of football, especially with the run that we've had. You know, a point is something that we'll take and try and motivate us then to, you know, kick on from, because we've got to get another game Tuesday. Just try to kick on from there and try to get 3 points Tuesday.
And Gillingham are back in action tomorrow night. They travel to take on Grimsby Town. On to ice hockey, and it was back-to-back victories on the road for Kent's Invicta Dynamos at the weekend. They beat Cardiff Fire 9-2 on Saturday before a 4-3 win at Swindon Wildcats 2 yesterday. The Mows are now fifth in South Division 1. And finally, a huge congratulations to everyone who took part in the Canterbury 10-mile road race over the weekend. The winner crossed the line in a very impressive 51 minutes and 10 seconds. Reporter Leon was there at the finish line to talk to some of the competitors.
How are you feeling after today's run?
Very tired. Yeah. Yeah, I pushed it to my limits, which was good. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah. How did you stay motivated during the times when you were kind of pushed to your limits then?
I think I had a girl in front of me who I was desperate to catch, so I was just trying to catch her and, you know, positive words and stuff.
I've done this event 3 times and then it's brilliant every year, the atmosphere.
What was your do you know what your final time was in the end?
It was about 74-ish minutes.
And how did you stay motivated during the harder parts of the track?
Essentially just knowing that I needed to get it done. You end up very far away from the finish line, so if you stop too far out, it's an awful long way to walk.
I'm really pleased, actually. I've run this 3 times before. It's a good test. It's a tough course, a couple of hills in there. But I'm running London Marathon in April, so this is a good sort of early sort of test of where my fitness is at. But yeah, enjoy. I always enjoy this course.
Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via The Briefing. To sign up to that, you just need to head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. Now, that gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Nicola Everett, all one word at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.